This morning's reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 17. This can be found on page 1177 of the Church Bibles. Beginning to read at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Right, good morning. So, we're looking today in our series about the armour of God and its various... and today we've come to the helmet of salvation. Now, thank you to Val, who left this from last week. This is a Roman-style helmet. The sort of thing would have been worn by a Roman legionary. So, as the Ephesians read this letter from Paul, this is the sort of thing they would have been thinking about. It's nice and hard. It's got pretty good coverage around the back, all over the top, and if more protects the nose, the cheeks, the face, that's pretty good. And this quite spectacular plume on top, which I'll refer to again a bit later. But this is the sort of thing that would have been they would have had in mind. Now, I don't have one of these lying around my house. So when I think of helmet, to be honest, that's not the first thing that comes into my head. Matthew, can you... So this is the sort of thing that I would think of when I would look around at home for a helmet. Simon doesn't ride a motorbike anymore, otherwise I would have got him up with his old motorbike helmet. But, you know, nice and... So what's the main purpose of this? Protection, right. Does it protect you when you're walking around normally, Matthew?
No.
Okay, would it protect you when you were cycling normally?
No.
Right, so it is. What's it a protection there for? When he falls off and hits his head. Sorry, if he fell off and hits his head.
No, it's a definite when.
Okay, and it's not just when his father throws something at him either. So, thank you.
When did that happen?
So, if I could borrow your helmet, this is... So, the first thing is, for a helmet, it is an item of protection. So, why is that so obvious? Now, it's so important. I'm going to be pretty obvious here. What's in your head?
Brain.
Your brain. Well, even, you know, 2,000 years ago, it was pretty obvious to people that if you hit your head, it was the brain was pretty important for keeping you alive and healthy. It's the source of your mind, it's your thinking, both involuntary and voluntary control of your muscles, and also of your character. Now, I have a guilty pleasure of, I got a bit hooked on 24 hours in A&E. I'm incredibly squeamish, so quite why I like that programme so much, I'm not quite sure. But I'm sort of thinking it's a bit of the human relationships side. But what I've seen is when they, you know, when people are coming in and they're all rushing around them, you know, the red phone's been going and there's a trauma call coming in. And one of the priorities is checking the head. Is there a head injury? Are they reacting? And very quickly, if someone hurts their head, it can become fatal. So actually, your helmet, the cyclist's helmet, you know, they're really, really keen. If someone's been in a bike accident, were they wearing a helmet? If it's been in a motorbike accident, did they have a helmet? And so often you hear them saying the difference that makes between life and death. And that's one thing that it protects you. But also with your, you know, you see it's the life, but also it's the character. And people who've had brain injuries, for instance, with a stroke, or I watched my mum deteriorating with dementia, and their character changes and then become a sort of different person. You can still see the person in there, but there are things in character that change. So actually your helmet is protecting your character as well. Protects our minds and our character when we're attacked, and it protects our spiritual lives. So two aspects for this, for the helmet of salvation. There's the once and for all, the accepting of God's salvation as in the saving death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's accepting that salvation as a gift. And what good would the helmet be if Matthew left it sitting in the box and went out riding? Left it on a shelf. Might look, you know, it's reasonably colourful, not the worst thing around. Or the helmet looks quite, you know, quite a good status symbol. Well, it's not actually going to do anything, is it? If you are in an accident, you actually need to put it on to accept that salvation. This actually quote, this here, this part of being helmet of salvation, is actually a quote from Isaiah 59, which I didn't realise until I was preparing for this. I'll read you verses 15 to 17 from Isaiah 59. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm achieved salvation for him. His own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. This is one of the prophecies that is seen to speak, that the Jewish scholars had spoke about the Messiah, the coming Saviour. And it's actually God putting on that helmet of salvation first, coming to save us, going to war, going into battle with a helmet on to save us. You know, we might think and take this a bit for granted. But look back. He was fighting for us. He was fighting to bring us that salvation. And we need to take that, take it, accept it, and put it on for ourselves. So that's the once and for all acceptance of our salvation. But there's also the continue aspect. We protect our minds and our character to use them. We have a rational faith, a faith that stands up to interrogation. We're made in God's image. We can think and we should use our intellect. Whether you left formal education at the first opportunity or have multiple degrees, it doesn't matter. God's given us the ability to think, and we're all challenged to use our minds. We're told to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, and all our strength. They're there to be used. There are times that, to be honest, we don't feel love, do we? And there are times when it's actually a mental decision, a mind decision to choose to love someone. We need to engage our minds to love God. And I'm sure that with people, even the people you love most, sometimes it's an act of will and a decision to love them. Yeah, all parents have those moments. Perhaps the bath has overflowed, or your children's dinner seems to have magically fallen onto the floor, or that expensive item of clothing has somehow got ripped. And at those points, love is definitely a choice, not a feeling. So sometimes we are told to love with our minds as well. So we take the helmet, protects our minds to help us to love God. And then we talked about mind forming our character, whether we're shy or outgoing, whether we're a listener or a chatterbox. You know, we're all different sorts of characters. But how can we protect our minds so our characters can be formed? When I was thinking about this, the verse that immediately came to me was Romans 12, verse 2. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." We need to let the Lord renew our minds and transform our character to become more Christ-like. Paul doesn't say, go and transform yourself, but be transformed. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is a long job. I've been a Christian for over 40 years and still have such a long way to go. But this first acceptance of the helmet of salvation is actually the first step of saying, Lord, come, take me, transform my mind. And by putting it on, day to day, we're asking God and letting him to actually protect our minds, giving him then the space, give the protection, and then to change us. It needs to be a daily act, reading God's word and asking him to change you by his Spirit. And then you will be able to test his will, what God's good plan for you is. That's the promise there. So often we think we know what it is and we go ahead and then something comes along and we need to know how to react. And that's actually when our character really shows. Less in our actions, but more in our reactions. And that's what we need the Lord to do, to transform us. To transform our characters to be more Christ-like by renewing our minds. If we don't put on the helmet, we leave our minds vulnerable to attack, to be led away from God's path by the sneaky attacks that come, that can attack both our thinking and our characters. It's vital that we all do this. So there's a second thing that a helmet would give. David, could you please come forward? David's going back a few years now. Right. So what?
All in all.
So what does this show you about David? Sorry, well, I didn't hear that.
He's very bad fashion
taste.
See you later, young man.
Right. So it shows his identity. There's a fact of identity being shown here. Well, it does make him taller. Yes. It gives him presence. It points him out as a member of the police. So when he would wear this, people would know he was a police officer. And actually the authority, partly by giving him extra height, but the badge of authority that goes with it and the rights of office. So if you look... Now, interestingly, I found this out about a Roman helmet, about this plume. This thing here... This is what Wikipedia told me, so I'm absolutely guaranteed to be correct. But one of the theories that they have is the plume going this way was for a legionary. And actually, if I can get it off, if it went that way, it was a centurion.
Mm.
Now, that's one of the theories. Might not be right.
Yeah, I don't
know. Right. Obviously... Yeah. But obviously Matthew knows more than Wikipedia.
The question of love is about to come back into the equation.
But, yeah, you would know... So the people of Ephesus, when they saw someone were wearing one of these, they would know that they were in the Roman army. They would know probably not to mess with them too much. And again, they would know which army they belonged to and possibly their rank. So then when we put on the helmet... Put that back on. Oh, it's really helpful having people heckling from the side. So when we put on the helmet of salvation, we take on the identity. It shows that we are in God's army. It shows to the spiritual realms that actually we belong to Jesus, that we are part, and it identifies us. It's a signal to other people and to the spiritual forces, but it's also a symbol to us, reminding us. It's like it changes when you put. If you put on any uniform, I've got certain jackets I put on for scary meetings. And it's
a sign for the identity.
It's almost like putting on a uniform and the identity of who we are. Now, David, could you just go out and buy that helmet?
No, absolutely not. No. Not like this, you come. Not a proper one.
Yeah. So what did you... Simon did actually want to bring something slightly heavier to test it, but I wouldn't let him. Yeah. What did you have to do to be entitled to wear it?
Basically, I had to make a commitment to serve as a police officer, which involved taking an oath of allegiance to the Queen. I'm not a public... or wasn't a public servant. I was actually servant of the Queen. But to get the helmet, I had to make that commitment to serve as a police officer.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
So likewise, it is a decision for us when we take on the helmet of salvation. we actually have to commit. We're taking on that the helmet to commit to serve and to follow Christ. None of these helmets, the police helmet, the Roman helmet, the cycle helmet, there's a builder's helmet under there, even... this one, they're no good, and this would help David in an attack or a very difficult situation, but not if he'd left it sitting in the back of the van. They're no use if we leave them on the side apart from just a bit of decoration. They're there for us to take, to commit to, and to wear. It's a decision to change and to follow Christ and to be changed by him, to serve him. It will protect you for his kingdom and through to eternal life, whatever comes at you in daily life. And after all, I was thinking, you don't put on armour to go on a picnic, do you? You actually put on armour when you're going into a battle and when there are things that can be coming up against you, and that's what the helmet protects you for. This is the promise of God that's with you. So I'd say to you today, if you have never accepted the gift of salvation, the gift of the helmet of salvation, I would strongly encourage you to find out more and talk to Ian or to Fiona or to me or someone nearby you could come and suggest who you could talk to. But if you don't leave out today without finding out more about this gift that will keep you to eternal life in God. Or if you have accepted it before, as many of us have, I encourage you to take hold of it today and to put it on. Just think on a day-to-day basis. I'm going to, as part of your armour, to keep you protected, but to be transformed through Jesus' blood, looking to him, and let him mould your thoughts and character, to be more like him, to serve, to react, and to make a difference to those around us. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all the armour you give us so freely. Lord, may we, each one of us, put on the helmet of salvation and keep it. Accept it. Keep it. Keep our minds on you. Keep us serving you and transform us to be more like Christ. In the name of Jesus. Amen.